Hello.
Hello. How you doing today, Christy?
Fine. How are y'all?
I'm good. It's just me here.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just going to be us. Okay, let me get myself together here. So, how have you been?
Busy. Today, I'm just relaxing.
Okay. So, how has the... Well, is it okay to say, now that you put it out there, is it okay to
ask? Yeah, the wedding
okay.
planning.
how has the wedding planning been?
It's actually been pretty good. It's been pretty good. Just now I'm on to like the, because I've been planning for like the first six months.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's just like getting ready for the second half, you know, when everything gets real and, you know, going up to that moment.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
It is very stressful. But that's good. I'm so happy. So happy for you. I'm glad. I'm glad. We got a lot of us like in our like, I guess like the little Jackson, like the inner Jackson, like city, the people that like we know. So a lot of us like are just got married or about to get married or just got engaged.
I noticed that.
Yeah, I think we're like all of that. I guess we're all at that age now where it's.
Yeah,
it's kind of we're grown.
Yeah, we getting grown now.
But if you're still here, welcome to the Ignite Podcast, y'all. And awesome. Of course, it's a teen podcast where we just help out teens. We give advice. We give some of our experiences and hope that you can take it and take little bits and pieces of what we give you here and use it in your everyday life or when you may need some advice in the future. You can always come back and listen. And today I have a very special guest, one of my good friends, Christy Johnson. And I'm going to let her introduce herself, tell you guys about herself and what she does. And I'm going to give the floor to you, Christy.
Okay. Thank you, Deontay, for letting me on to come and speak and connect with the youth, mainly teens, which is one of my favorite area of group of kids. So I am a suicide prevention specialist for a community mental health center here in Jackson, Mississippi. And I also previously worked as a prevention specialist as far as drugs and alcohol. And also my background is mental health counseling. Like I mentioned earlier, adolescents and transitional youth, which are ones that are attending college and, you know, walking into adulthood, is like my favorite group mm-hmm. of people to talk to and to work with. So I'm just excited to be on today and just talk about, you know, things that's going on or how they can cope or process things.
Yes. And that's the main thing. We mainly want to give you guys just some thinking points of how to cope with our topic today. And we want to educate on breaking generational curses and how to deal with our parents in a better and positive way. So, Christy, I mean, the format is just real simple. Like, I'm going to just ask your opinions on, like, a few things.
Okay.
And we can just go from there, and you can answer however you see fit.
Okay.
Okay. So, first, our tough question. How would you define toxic parenting?
Okay. Mainly, and how can I say this? And I'm not, trying to, if there is a parent that is listening, I'm not saying, that you can't disagree with your child, but I think it's more so that communication piece. A lot of times some, and it's difficult to parent parents, but oftentimes, that communication. So because kids and parents, especially nowadays, some parents are around the same age as their child, and some are maybe a little spaced. However, I would say, you can't think that, okay, if you can't always assume that a child is talking back. Sometimes it may be like you have to think of the tone and how it's said. You know your child better than anybody else. So you can't automatically assume that every time they say something that doesn't agree with what you're doing is they're talking back. Because they might just be saying they don't like something. I think also with as well as with communication is how you want them to do something. Like if you're fussing and screaming and attacking their character, they might shut down. And it that can come in terms of their relationship with other people, because parents are the first trial run of all the relationships that they'll ever have in the future. And that's from dating relationships to work relationships to friend relationship or even platonic ones. They're gonna have a hard time communicating, what they need or what they mean based off of how you might have communicated with them or they saw you communicate with them. And then also by the way that, you treat others. If they see you mistreating people or talking about people behind their back and doing all this kind of stuff, they either probably gonna have a little mistrust in other people that they communicate with, or they may feel like everybody's out to get them.
Those are some very, very, very good talking points. And I wanted to just add that, like, it's to the communication aspect that there are some very, very difficult conversations that we can have with our kids, and something that we want them to do. Like you said, there's a way to kind of like there's a way to communicate with them to maybe like loosen like the I guess ease the sting of what you have to say, of course. And like with my experience, and I don't mind talking about this, was I had a very like toxic situation with my stepdad. My mom had got pretty sick, and basically she couldn't. The doctor told her she could not work no more. Couldn't work no more. So a lot of that financial burden fell onto me and my sister. And this was like around the time that I was a freshman at Jackson State. So you can just imagine, like, I'm a freshman at Jackson State. I'm on the track team. I'm always gone. My mom is sick. And on top of that, I have to figure out how I'm gonna pay mortgage. And not only that, I mean, my sister was also like, helping paying bills. My sister also, this is around the time, my sister had my nephew. And it's like, it was just, it felt like, we were just thrown out there to the world, like thrown to the wolves. Like, y'all take care of it, but you are with my mom. You're with my mom, but you don't want to help out with like the stuff that's going on around the house. You, like, it really, like, it, like, I don't mind helping my mom because I don't want that, like, they to come across like that because, like, that's my mom. I'm going to do whatever I can for her.
Correct.
But the way that it happened was very, I mean, like arguments, guys, I've seen my sister fight her dad, because this is her biological dad, not mine. And like, I've seen them fist fight and everything like that. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I coped with it so bad. I coped with it really bad. I had to go talk to a therapist. My sister talked to the same lady. My mom talked to her too. This is really my mom's main therapist. And like it's just it made me think like that financial like burden that a lot of parents like put on their kids like at a young age. Oh, you're 18 now. You're 18. You know, you're gonna be living in my house. You need to do this and you need to go out and you know whatever. Instead of I guess like putting it in a more like a positive like way of and my thing is I wished more parents would like so I'm not trying to tell anybody how to raise their kids, but from what other kids tell me and what I've experienced, I wish my stepdad would have said like, okay, set us down. You know, there's some things going on that I can't contribute to right now because I have other stuff going on. Mm-hmm. I need you guys to do this to kind of help me with picking up the slack. Instead of, oh, you know, y'all got it. Y'all handle it. No, I'm not doing it. I'm going to be gone for weeks at a time. I can't do it. I can't. Y'all got it. So that's just the thing I wanted to add with, like, the communication aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And y'all, I'm okay now. I'm in a great headspace. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking care of my own household, everything. So it's just if you're going through something like that, or you have gone through something like that, and you're in your early 20s, and you're like really traumatized by it, I definitely suggest going to talk to somebody.
Yes. Yes, I actually was going to ask you, just, I guess my counselor brain just started. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, like, do you think that has an effect, like, or do you think it did or does have an effect on how you handle relationships and finances? Because, you know, you did mention about generational curses and things mm-hmm. like that. Do mm-hmm. you think it may have an effect on how you kind of function when it comes to relationships and finances?
Honestly, yes, it does. And I'm kind of like, I'm managing that in my marriage right now. Mm-hmm. So before I met my wife, in my relationships, like I'm not going to lie. I would be very selfish. I would be very, very selfish with, and I mean, I still believe this in a tiny bit was, you know, I worked hard for my money. So mm-hmm. if I want to buy myself something, like if I want to treat myself, and that would get backlash when I was younger. You know, I wanted to treat myself with this, maybe I bought myself a video game. Maybe I bought myself that when I graduated from, when I got my bachelor's, before going to getting accepted into the master's program, I bought myself the MacBook. A MacBook Pro, and like, oh, you know, this money could have been elsewhere. This money could have did this, you know. Like, so I was like I feel very self-conscious about buying things because I was worried about how others may like feel about it. Mm-hmm. And that made me very resentful for a long time. Very. Because I remember at one point, this is not gonna turn into a therapy session, y'all. But I remember one point, it was something that me and my sister couldn't pay, and he told my mom, he was like, if me and my sister didn't pay this, he's gonna come in the house and sell everybody's stuff.
Wow.
And that's when South Jackson Deontay came out. So. You know, like it did have a very negative effect on me. Like before, I went to go talk to our therapist, mm-hmm. and after just getting, it was more so me having to get that frustration out. I really didn't have anybody to vent to. I was also coming out of a very like horrible relationship at the time, so mm-hmm. like it was just a ton of stuff that was like kind of built up over time. I had also like lost my granddad like in that little bit of time too. So there was a bunch of stuff like weighing on me, like it may be weighing on like our audience. and they don't know how to handle it. And like like I said, the biggest thing, I would suggest, I did a lot of this is a ministry, so like I would say I did a lot of praying, I did a lot of meditating, and of course, like my way of talking to God is running. So I did a lot of running, and that took away a lot of stress. But it really is nothing like going to talk to somebody that doesn't know, that doesn't know you, that they haven't known you since you was a baby. They don't know the outside forces that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's just something about talking to them that's like so good. It's like a breath of fresh air. You feel like you got a weight lifted off.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going through any type of stress, like the main thing, and you're doing other things to like kind of cope with it and everything, and it's still not putting you in the right headspace, see if you can go talk to somebody. So yeah, that's my main, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's good. I mean, the people do need to hear that because it's so important. One, it is important to do some type of physical activity. However, mm-hmm. like you said, when it gets to a point where you're like, okay, I done tried everything mm-hmm. and it's just not working, I need to go talk to someone. So it is good to, reach out to a therapist or reach out. Mm-hmm. Some people talk to some life coaches because they're afraid of therapists because they think they're trying to diagnose, but we're mm-hmm. not. That's not the whole point or reason. Sometimes you may just need to talk to somebody because you're anxious about all the good things. I know that mm-hmm. sounds interesting too.
Yeah.
It's not always just a bad that you're going to seek therapy. You might have something new going on that you're like, okay, I have all this. I can't go to sleep because I'm so excited thinking about this stuff. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how this is going to go or where this is going to go. And that's really the point where you need to go talk to somebody because mm-hmm. you don't know what it's going to look like or what's going to happen on the other side.
Yeah.
But like in your case, what you were talking about, it was good that y'all did decide to talk to someone because it was like you was at the height of like your youth. You're becoming an adult and you're going to college, you're on the track scholarship, you're excited and everything, you're a freshman, and then boom, your mom gets sick, stepdad isn't stepping in. It's a lot going on. The roles and responsibilities are changing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I thought I was going to go to college and just be carefree and live my life, live my best life. Mm-hmm. And then this happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like there are, with the money situation thing, I'm all for, like, you know, teens going out there getting a job and everything. My situation was very extreme. And so, like, if you are, like, out there and your parents are, like, pushing you to get a job, they might just be, like, wanting to teach you that responsibility, which is, you know, there's nothing too much wrong with that. I mean, I was fortunate with my mom in high school. She told me as long as I was running and doing what I was supposed to do, you know, I was good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're 16, 17, 18, and, you know, your parents are, like, pushing you to get a job, it is a very good form of, like, responsibility. But if you feel like, I'm overwhelmed with, they're, like, asking for money, asking you to pay this, asking you for that, and you feel very overwhelmed, you know, like, respectfully go to your parents and just say, like, you know, I'm feeling this way, mm-hmm. and what can we do about it? And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. And if you're a parent listening to this, I feel like actually try to, instead of, you know, like Christy said, instead of, you know, being aggressive, like, I guess, toward them, I don't, just try to listen to what they have to say and then respond, like, accordingly, try to be in a positive way, try to at least sympathize with what they're saying, I guess, and mm-hmm. see what you can do about going forward. And I definitely think that would be like your team, if they can see, if your teenager see that you can respond to them in a positive way, they don't feel like they're going to get in trouble, they don't feel like they don't feel like they are going to get like attacked and their character is going to be judged and everything like that, it'll probably open up a whole new world for you and your child's like relationship. They will come and talk to you about anything. I can't tell you like how many teens I've worked with. First of all, the people on the podcast that listen to it, they really don't know too much about me because I promote my niece so much. But you know, I've been working with teenagers since I was 18 myself. Coaching high school track and field at 18. So I'm working with kids like my age, and you begin to like, you really know how teens function, what gets them to respond. And it honestly has made my job, like working in education, 1,000 times easier. Working in the middle school, it was a little challenging in the elementary, like right now, but working in middle school, it made my job so easy. And it's all about the way you approach them. You respect them. You know their boundaries, and you wouldn't believe the amount of like the way they will respond to you like so positively. I've gotten like tons of letters of kids just saying thank you. You know, like we really appreciate you. They really appreciate like the way that I like, you know, talk to them or listen and everything like that. So I think that's a very good piece of advice for both teen and parent to be kind of, you know, balanced.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so I have a few more, I have some more questions for you.
Okay.
So, I would say, what is your opinion on like the long term effects of? Cause, I mean, you already dived into this like a little bit, but working with what is your opinion on like long term effects of like teens that are being like belittled and being belittled at home? The parents aren't like very confident in them. In your expertise, have you seen like anything, like any talk to like maybe an adult, or maybe I know you can't talk about like your job too much, but like just in your experience, have you seen like some negative long-term effects of?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So just throwing one out there, a lot of suicide attempts or ideations actually come from the idea of no one's there for me. No one's backing me. I got the world all on my shoulders. I have to do this. Some kids that even appear as affectionates, you know, perfectionists, can sometimes feel like that, because think about it. If someone had like straight A's all through K-12, they get to college and they make a whole bunch of D's and F's. And it's not because they aren't smart. It's because everybody had them on this pedestal thinking that, you know, and the work is a little different. You have to manage things a little different. So the minute you come home and you got, you know, bad grades or whatever, you know, it's a little different in high school compared to college. So they're like, well, I expected so much of you, and we just paid all this money for you to go to school down there, and then you just gonna flunk out. Then they're thinking like, oh, I'm not perfect, I'm not fit for school, I need to drop out, you know, because my folks don't support me. I've seen it that way. I've also seen a lot of low self-esteem from parents kind of picking on their kids, or, you know, always harping on them about something they aren't doing. I also think that sometimes some parents attempt to live their life through their kids.
Yes.
And that doesn't work well because they're always going to end up trying to appease or people please them and others. So, and one way you do need to be okay or open with people, but you still need to live in your truth. So you're not always looking for everybody to agree with you know, or everybody to like what you're doing. So oftentimes you do have those extreme cases of people pleasing or just them feeling like no one's there, of the low self-esteem, even lack of confidence in things that they do or try to do. They may second guess everything that they're doing, or second guess how they approach things. They might not even be able to approach things on their own because they're so dependent on their parents and their parents' approval. So I've seen that inside of work as well as outside, just I guess from just paying a lot of attention that a lot of kids do tend to be people pleasers. I'm actually an only child, so only child, only grandchild. I really, mine was if, because my parents are divorced too. Mine was just that ideal. I wouldn't say my dad is toxic, but I had to actually, we're kind of one of the same when it comes to like our temperament a little bit. But at the same breath, I'm not the type of person where I bully someone into a corner, but it took me to be an adult to realize where he got that from. So what type of person he is, he do kind of pick and pry to you like you mad, and then he trying to figure out why you mad, and you it that's the kind of person he was. And but now as an adult, I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna be this parent that okay, if you don't agree with what I say, then I gotta piss you out to the point where you react. We're not finna go there because that's pointless. But now he gets mad sometimes when I be like, look, we not finna do this. Cause I just, like we not finna do this. I know we can't agree right now, but I'm finna go. And he'll get mad instead of me just sitting there dealing with it. Now he gets mad when I be like, okay, look, I'm finna go. Because we not been do this.
I to completely like understand what like my biological father, like we are the older I get, and it's kind of scary. The older I get, the more I see myself becoming like my dad, and like all the good ways, I would say. Coming when I was younger, my dad wasn't ready for a kid, and that's when and this is why a lot of people say, like, oh, you go look at my wedding pictures, you're like, oh, you had your stepdad in your wedding and stuff like that. I'm like, yes. The reason why I had him in it was because he stepped up when I was a baby, and like he did things for me up until that point of, when things started to change. And I'm not just gonna throw that away, because I really appreciated it.
Correct.
And so yeah, I had him in my wedding or whatever, but my so. No, I had an absent like father for a long time, and we really didn't have like the best relationship. And I wouldn't. It was a slight. It was. I would say it. Living with him at one point and everything, and like, oh, like it was a. I had the. It's kind of hard to say. I had to make a decision of who I wanted to live with. Let's just put it like that. My mom or my dad. And I did notice kind of like early on, like how, like I've only met three of the women that my dad has like ever dated. And I started to notice like a negative thing of like how I was negatively affected by like how one of the women he were dating, and like seeing some other stuff that we should not like get into, but it really affected me like negatively. And I started to see how I would react towards not react, but how I would treat women in middle school. Not only that, a type of like the bullying thing or whatever and everything, but we're talking about parents right now, and like it. I it really like I'm amazed that I caught on so early, But like seeing, you know, a few different women, and me, you know, not being around my like my dad like as much, I did see like how it affected like my future relationships before, you know, I kind of like came to grips with myself. Mm-hmm. So like now me and my dad have like a very, very good relationship. And I say all that to say is like, because it seems like you and your dad now, like, you know how to like handle your dad. And is it okay to say that y'all have like a decent relationship now?
Or? We have a good relationship. Yeah. That was just, it was a period. I want to say it really was like 2 years. And I always kind of think about that from time to time. Uh-huh. You know, most kids, they get angry with their parents when they're divorced.
Yeah.
My parents have been divorced like for, I want to say about, is it a divorce when I was 9? So I was 15 at, that was from the years of 15 to 17. So that's like 6 years. It took 6 years. It took 6 years for me to even fully get upset or just angry about everything. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of just, it was weird, but I guess it was needed or necessary because, again, like, I know it could be some teens out there who parents are in the process of being divorced or they came to terms with some stuff that was going on. And it doesn't mean that you got to bottle it up. My folks did, you know, let me express my thoughts. Now, even my anger towards him, they let me express how I was feeling. But they also was like, look, Christy, look, that's still your dad. You still have to respect him. Mm-hmm. We understand you feel that way.
Yeah.
But he also going to have to come to you. And because we had to really have to get a clear understanding of each other. Mm-hmm. And then from that point, we were good. But it's still, even when he kind of get a little mad with me because I decide to do stuff one way and it's not the way that he like it to be done or something, I'd be like, okay, look, what I end up doing is just separate myself from him for a second. That's really what I do. But still, you know, I'll say this, once you understand your parent or you kind of clearly understand yourself and why you're upset, then, you know, you can especially see somebody for therapy because life is short. Like, you don't want to be losing a loved one or a parent or something you have not told them how you feel, good and bad.
Right.
And trying to, you know, build a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. So, but you definitely need to process it because it's so much going on. And if I did do that, I think I probably wouldn't have good relationships with guys at all. I don't think I would. I definitely don't think I'll be where I am now. But just from that, like I said early in the beginning, it crosses over with all your relationships. I mean, even with people that's dating, ask your significant other, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, pay attention to how they treat their parents or people that's their guardians. If it's not their birth mother and father, just the person that has raised them, how do they treat them? Because that's probably how they're going to treat you or how they're going to respond to how you, you know, when things get out of whack.
And see, like, I say all that, like, to say, like, we, like you say, you know, your parents said, no, that's still your dad, you know, you respect him and everything like that. And I totally believe that. And, like, I'm always, like, telling, like, the teens that I work with, you know, you only get one mom and dad. Yes, you may have a stepdad. Yes, you may have a stepmom. But you only get one biological mom and one biological father. And you don't want, like, to lose anyone. And there's nothing like losing someone and you can't tell them, like, how you feel, like you just said. Mm-hmm. And you, like, practice forgiveness, not for your parent, practice for yourself. Mm-hmm. Because if you can forgive No, forgive an absent father. Like, I forgave my dad for, you know, like, not being there when I was younger. And I told him that, like, you know, I forgive you. No, I told him, like, I'm not mad at him. I forgave him for, you know, he couldn't come to, like, every track meet that I had in high school. He couldn't come to a track meet in college because my dad drives trucks. But I didn't understand at the time. So, like, I literally let him know, you know, I forgive you. I think I've seen him at one track meet. And, you know, at one point I was, like, really upset. But as I got older, I'm like, you know what? Like, my dad drives trucks. And he actually did come to one track meet. So can I be really too mad at him? And can I say that he didn't support me? Actually, he did. He tried the best he could.
Yeah.
So that's my whole thing. Like, if you're really upset at something, you're really upset at something that a parent did, or you're all of these things that we're talking about now, you know, practice forgiveness. Pray about it. Go talk to somebody. And I'm pretty sure whoever you talk to, they're probably going to tell you the same thing. Forgive them for yourself. And mm-hmm. then a bunch of positive stuff will follow.
Yep. And another thing, just thinking about it, is that parents are humans. They don't know. It's just kind of going back to what I mentioned earlier about it's hard to parent parents.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I tell my mom all the time, like it's really hard raising parents.
Like, they are human, and you have to remember the household they came up in
mm-hmm.
and what they may have saw or what they may have endured. Just kind of thinking back on, like, what I was mentioning about my dad earlier. Mm-hmm. His mom had him at 15.
Mm.
So, what could she really teach him, you know?
Yeah. So,
and he was first born, and then seven children came thereafter. So mm-hmm. It's, you know, you have to think about that. Like, you have to really think about when it comes to our parents, they might have missed out on some things. They might not have gotten some things. Mm-hmm. And even those parents who do try to give their children everything, there's still going to be something missing. Some, yeah. You know, and some people can look at their friends and be like, well, such and such mama, they give them everything they want. Mm-hmm. They might give them everything material-wise what they want, but do they give them love and support and everything that you may get, all the attention that you may get? Not saying they don't, but, you know, you can't compare.
Yeah.
We don't know what go on in their house.
True.
We don't know what, you know, is taking place. So that's another thing that teens kind of get it twisted in some cases, that just because a kid gets to do whatever they want, or just because they get some things, or just because they are able to look and dress like how society says they're supposed to look and dress, that doesn't mean they get all the benefits. That doesn't mean that they're the best parent in the world. They might just have access to things that your parent might not have at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I completely, completely agree on all fronts. Okay, I think I have maybe one more.
Okay.
One, yeah. Cool. Okay, so I have worked with a bunch of teens that are very, you know, troubled. We're not going to mention this company I worked for, but I have literally, like, you know, chased kids walking down the street, like, leaving the facility. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, I've heard horror stories about kids being locked in closets and stuff like that. So their situation is more extreme than most of us.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also heard, like, horror stories of, you know, some people making their kids fight. How would you, I guess, approach, or maybe if you're like having a team that's like really troubled, and they are just not, they're like literally at the brink, and they tell you like, you know, I came from foster care, and this A, Y, and Z happened to me. How would you approach like that situation? And this is not only like for like what the kids should do. I'm asking for myself too, so I can know what to say.
Okay. So if, especially with abuse, because, you know, technically with our roles, we have a duty to report.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely for sure asking the kid, saying, hey, and I'm sorry that has happened to you. If you mind, if you feel comfortable telling me what happened, and, you know, and how can we help you with what's going on? Mm-hmm. Just kind of get a clear understanding, and also letting them know that if you don't feel safe at this time, that I do have the right to report this to authorities. So, you know, you do have to call the CPS hotline.
Yes. Yeah.
And report every, like, allegedly.
Yeah.
The child stated X, Y, and Z. So, yeah.
We have done it. We have done.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, because that, even with neglect, abuse, mm-hmm. Abuse of any kind, that's financial, mm-hmm. Sexual, physical, verbal,
mm-hmm.
The nine. So you do have to do that, but definitely talk to the child. It's understanding as to like what allegedly happened, because that's mm-hmm. how we have to state allegedly and yeah. not actually happen unless you've seen it for yourself
yeah.
Firsthand. But, you know, and also just to say this caveat to kids, if you are being abused, still do not like shy away or minimize. Like, if you're scared to hear about something going on with a child, I mean, it is heartbreaking to hear about it. It is.
Yeah.
I think I've heard a lot of stuff. But at the same time, like, it's still our duty. Teachers, coaches, therapists, anyone who work with children or yeah. youth or even older people, you know, we're technically helping with their well-being, even their safety. So if mm-hmm. they don't feel safe and they report they don't feel safe, or something happened at home last night, they saw something, they had no business. Cause, just throwing it out there.
Yeah. Don't you agree that these are the type of conversations that we need to be having, like, with our, like, teenagers?
Yeah.
So they can, so we can break these curses of, like, they already know.
Mm-hmm.
So why not educate them on how to handle these things properly?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just so much like going on in the world, so much that our kids see on social media, so much that mm-hmm. they, you know, they see at home. They're going through a lot more at home. And I think like our age group is kind of like, we're kind of like socially aware of like these things. We're more socially aware than our parents.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think it's our duty to like educate our kids and educate like the next generation. So now that like we're now that we're older, and some of us may have or haven't gone through these things, but we're more socially aware about it. We should be teaching them so we can break even more like ground on it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's never going to fully go away, but we can always get better at like how to handle it, better at how to prevent it. We can always have better relationship with our parents. We can always have better, like, just better everything, a better quality of life. And that's the message that I want to, like, spread.
I agree. And it's good that you're doing that, because, You know, a lot of times some folks just say, well, what goes on this house stays in this house, but it don't really stay in the house because everybody's still, they're going to have it. How can I say this? The way that they react to things, everybody going to know there's something going on.
Mm-hmm.
Their actions are still going to show. It seems mm-hmm. like there's something going on over there at that house over there. You know, because everybody mad with each other and all this. You say mm-hmm. you don't want it to be brought out, but people are still going to act out on it. I mean, if everything stayed in the house, we wouldn't have Ayana always talking to families.
Mm-hmm.
Ayana's son always, you know, trying to talk about
right life. Going on. Yeah, it's just I lost my train of thought. It was so good. Like, I agree, and like I said, teens can learn so much from this topic. We can break so much new ground from just teaching them, having like the very hard and difficult conversations, and we can not only like help usher in better better students, better everything, but like we can usher in a better society
mm-hmm.
by having these tough talking points and not shying away from them and not sheltering our kids. Shelter them to a certain extent, but a lot of the hard conversations they can handle because they already know it.
Correct.
They've already seen it. But yeah, that was a perfect conversation.
It is.
Perfect conversation. Thank you so much for talking to me today.
No problem.
Anything you want to, promote? Because one thing I did want to talk to you about, because mm-hmm. I know that, are you still doing like the pageant things and everything?
I'm working with pageant systems. I'm working with two nonprofit uh-huh. Organizations. They have representatives for their organization. Mm-hmm. And I'm also working with one up-and-coming pageant system mm-hmm. here in the state. So that's also like my side work. Uh-huh. To society.
Yeah. I've just been to say, because a lot of like the kids that I work with are young girls. And that's mm-hmm. one reason why, you know, I was listening to your podcast to kind of like help me, because I'm a man. And, you know, there's only certain things like, you know, I know about, you know, there's only certain things I know. So like I can like, you know, you're feeling this way, or oh, this is a good podcast to listen to. So I have like, you know, told them, you should listen to this and everything. So I'm definitely putting you out there. And the reason why I asked about the pageant is because my wife's aunt is like, she was like heavy into pageants, and I'm not sure if she like, I know she still like watches like the things I be seeing mm-hmm. you post about it. I be seeing her post about it. But you know, if you're looking to like a branch out, please let mm-hmm. me know, because okay. branch out to the Texas area, you know, make it, you know, if you're really, you're willing to, you know, go to a different place. Not go, but, you know, reach out to a different, like, you know, audience or whatever. Please let me know. I will definitely, like, connect you to.
Okay. Yeah. I might still need to, because I know mm-hmm. we're looking for, like, judges for mm-hmm. this one that's coming up. So that would be a great opportunity just to kind of network with her and
yeah,
see what she got going. Yeah, because.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Different app. It's a lot going on now.
Yeah.
With pageantry, so.
Okay, so is there anything else that you have, like, you wanna promote anything? Some teens can, like, you know.
Honestly, I don't have much right now. I just kind of mm-hmm. been working on my boutique, mm-hmm. the Crown Closet, and dressing pageant contestants and mm-hmm. ladies who like to dress up. With the podcast, I actually put a complete hold on the podcast because I was mm-hmm. finding myself overwhelmed, even though the old episodes are still there. Mm-hmm. So that's the Empower Her podcast with Chrissy Sippy. I talk to different women Actually, I got 3 episodes that I need to actually put out there that I didn't edit yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I've on that podcast, I basically, similar to what you do, bring on different people and talk about like what they have going on, their businesses or their story, just to, you know, educate people.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you never know who that may impact or who that may uplift. I think it's 2 additional episodes on there, 2 bonus episodes where I did like a panel with a group of women. They talked about, I think one was on health and the other one was on like self-care and things. So I think I do want to do another one of those soon, but I haven't decided yet because this wedding planning stuff is between that and the 3 pageants. It's kind of like my schedule gets busy.
And
the nature of my job that, because it encompasses a lot of stuff I used to do in the community. It's like, okay, should I invest now that I see I'm working a job where I am able to do everything I want to do for the community? So I'm not sure if I'm going to, and that may be a good idea. Deontay, you got me over here. The wheels are spinning on this podcast idea for work, because that might be something that I can do. And I think my job, they're very supportive of everything. So that might be something.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, I have to bring you back on or bring you in some type of way if I decide.
Ready. I am always ready. But like I said, I appreciate you again. And we have an Instagram, ignite.teens, and we're always like, you know, putting up things about, you know, oh, this college is giving away free tuition. We're always like trying to put opportunities out there in front of you guys. So if you're listening to this for the first time, you made it this far, you know, follow our Instagram. We also have a Twitter, which is the same handle, and like I say, ignite.teens, and we're just trying to put out a positive message out there, trying to help you, you know, grow, help you have a better like quality of life, and just trying to prepare you, help prepare you for the world. Because, like I said, a lot of parents, like, you know, they miss things, but it really takes a village to, you know, raise kids, and you know, you might be stumbling upon this and need a little bit of help. So we hope we helped you. And, you know, Chris, I will talk to you later. So,
okie dokie. Well, I thank you for letting me on.
Oh, no problem. No problem. You are. Anytime. We're going to work on those other 2 episodes. Those, like, because I do a series we just started. We're only like, this is our 3rd episode. Okay. We do a series called So You Want to Be. Okay. And we brought in one of my wife's friends. She's a registered nurse. And excuse me, she talked to my niece, because that's the kind of like, my niece is a junior this year. She's trying to be a senior, and she's kind of like thinking about the nursing field.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids that I talked to at our church and everything, we're kind of like going to get their feedback tomorrow about what career path they're thinking about doing. And we bring different people on in that career field, and they kind of just talk to them and give them like, oh, this is what I did in college, this is what I do now. And so we're definitely going to bring you on for those 2, the things that you have done.
Okay.
And the job that you're doing now. So we'll work on that. And
okay, cool.
Yeah, so this was great. And talk to you later.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Ignite is based out of Houston, Texas, and the program helps young individuals strengthen their self-confidence, find their voices, and lead them down the best paths to reach their academic and life goals. And we are eternally grateful for your support.